Okay, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to take some time in the next few weeks. I thought it'd be good to look at God's will for healing. God's will regarding healing. Last week we saw God's will for all prayer is based on His Word. His revealed Word reveals His will. And so when we pray according to His will, 1 John 5 tells us that we have those petitions that we've asked. So it's very, very important that we pray in the arena of God's will. So we want to look at God's will concerning healing. And there's some great, great things happening. The CFAN crusade that's been going on this week. Pastor Newberry's going to be coming at the end of this month. God always uses him in great ways to help, raise people up and pray for the sick and those kinds of things. But it's very, very important that we have a scriptural basis for what we believe. Look at Luke 5 and verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Notice the advanced case part. It means it was really bad. All right. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I am willing. I am willing. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. So Jesus was overcoming this man's question whether it was the will of Jesus to heal him, whether that was something that he wanted to do. And Jesus said, I am willing. And so we see that in this case with the leper, it was the will of God for him to be healed. What is really, really good news is that we cannot go to anywhere in the Gospels where someone approached Jesus and Jesus said, I'm sorry, but it's not my will. I'm sorry, but for this instance, for this circumstance, I've sovereignly chosen for it not to be my will. And friend, that's because it's always His will. Bible gives us some pretty clear-cut statements about other things. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of His Son. So God, it is never God's will to send anyone to hell. When people choose to reject Jesus, that is never the will of God, according to the Bible. All right. So in the same way, and we're going to see because the same blood purchased our healing, Jesus said, I am willing. And He speaks to us today and He speaks for all generations. And He says, it is my will for you to be healed. Even if it's advanced leprosy, even if it's something that the doctors cannot fix, even if it's something that's beyond what natural medicine would say is possible. Jesus said, I am willing. And His life, Jesus's life and His ministry was a picture of the will of God for all men, for all time, for all people, for all time. The formerly unseen God showed up. And Hebrews tells us that in times past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, but in these days has spoken to us through His Son. What has He spoken to us through His Son? I am willing that you be whole. I am willing that whatever's broken in your body and in your life, God can fix. Let's look at another scripture here. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And this is such an amazing account of so many different things that happened. But I want you to notice the words of Jesus in this story. All right. So Luke 5, verse 17. Now, it happened on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. Aren't you glad that this man had some friends that wanted to get him to Jesus? And let me tell you, in life, when you're stuck, in life, when you may seem paralyzed, in life where things aren't going great, you need four friends that will help you get to Jesus. Amen. Verse 19. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. You know what you also you need in life is determination. There are so many times in life where at first glance it doesn't look like it's going to work out. Don't ever turn away. Just make a hole in the roof. Make a plan. Make another way. Verse 20. When he, this is Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said to him, that's the man on the stretcher, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And now remember, in the crowd were all these religious leaders who had come to hear Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, how many of you know they were right on the second part, they were wrong on the first part? He wasn't blaspheming, but they were right that only God can forgive sins. What they didn't recognize is that God was in their midst. This was God who was teaching them. Verse 22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them." So it's always kind of interesting to be careful what you're thinking when you're around Jesus. "He perceived their thoughts and answered them." All right. So anyway, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" Now notice what he says. Look at verse 23. "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk?" Say this to your neighbor. It's easy. Which is easier to say your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? You see, with Jesus, both are easy. Both are within his ability to do. Verse 24. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." I think you would be glorifying God, wouldn't you? If you're carrying your bed to your house that you used to lay on. All right. And so Jesus realized that this man was in need of both. He was in need of forgiveness of sins, and obviously he was in need of healing. He came to Jesus and received both from the Savior. And thank God for salvation. Thank God that our sins can be washed away. Thank God that there is continual cleansing of if we ever mess up in life as a Christian. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus still forgives? And so we are aware of that, and I hope you walk in light of that. And I hope you walk in the power of his blood and his grace to overcome sin and to find the way out of every temptation. All right. And so, and thank God, and we should preach about that, and we should be aware of that, and we should live in that reality. But at the same time, there is another part of our redemption that is just as real, and that is the redemption for our physical body. God cares about your body. Now, we have a salvation that is spiritual, and thank God that when we get to heaven, the Bible says that there will be we'll put on incorruptibility. That is, a body where our hair doesn't fall out, where you don't have to put Botox in your forehead to get rid of the wrinkles, and it doesn't get old, it doesn't decay. And physical death here on this earth is the last enemy to be put underfoot. But while we're in this body that is getting older, Jesus is the Redeemer for our physical body. And there is healing for our physical body. He's a healing Jesus. And so he went up, verse 26, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Jesus called it easy. They called it strange. Physical healing is normal with Jesus. It's a part of what he does. Let me read a certain portion from the Message Bible. And I think it, it just really brings it out so wonderfully. In Luke 5, verse 24, and this is Jesus speaking. Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both, he spoke directly to the paraplegic, get up, take up your bedroll, and go home. Jesus is authorized to forgive sin or to heal the sick or both. He's authorized to do either or both at the same time. He is authorized by whom? By his Father in heaven. Without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, took his blanket, left for home, giving God glory all the way. And so Jesus is authorized to do this in your life. Now, we'll probably see this scripture maybe next week or the next week. But there was a time where there was someone who had been born blind, and the Pharisees were more concerned kind of as far as the who did it, whose fault is it, than really the outcome. There were other times where Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and they think, I think there's been a Sabbath violation. They missed seeing the man that had a withered hand. How many would be terrible to have a withered hand? There's certain things in life that you just can't do if you've got a hand that's withered. And Jesus said, stretch it out. And he was healed on the Sabbath day. And they said, whoa, 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 technically that's work. And so the Pharisees with this man that was born blind, they were saying, Jesus, I wonder if it was his sin. He was born blind, so I don't know what sin you do in the womb. All right. Some of you probably were capable of that. All right. Or was it his parents' sin? Were his parents' sin? And sometimes when it comes to receiving from God, we disqualify ourselves because we feel like I don't deserve this. And in fact, maybe what I'm walking in is my own fault. And you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe it is. And there are certain physical conditions that happen because of behavior. Now, obviously, there's lots and lots of other physical conditions that just, in a sense, happen. No one sinned, all right? But the fact is, Jesus kind of sidestepped their question and healed the person who was born blind without saying whether it was his sin or his parents' sin. And so when you come to receive from Jesus, realize that what happened has happened. But Jesus is in your today. The healer, Jesus, is present to help you overcome that. Now, like this man who was paralyzed, if there is a sin that's there present at the same time, he can also forgive sin. And he can raise you up. Amen? Now, why is it that Jesus was able to say that I'm authorized to do either or both? And that is because divine healing is a part of our redemption. It's part of our redemption. In fact, when Jesus went to the cross, and at Miracle Life, we talk about, the cross is enough for me. Well, when we sing that song, the cross is enough for me, do you think that the cross is enough for my headache? The cross is enough for cancer? You may think, well, it's enough for sin, and thank God it certainly is. But it is because the cross is where both were purchased for all time. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and this is a messianic prophecy. This is Isaiah seeing this suffering servant. And again, even when Jesus came to the earth, there were some people that were, they weren't looking for this suffering servant, this Messiah, this sin bearer, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist kind of good at it, but they were, a lot of people were kind of looking for Che Jesus, to overcome the Romans. And they were looking for a political hero, and so they missed what God sent. As was in the time of Jesus, as it is today, friends, our biggest problem on planet Earth is not political. It's spiritual. We need redemption. We need Jesus to come into humanity's messed upness. All right. So Isaiah 53, so he's seen this suffering servant, and he begins to describe, and actually he it seems like he's understanding some of what's going to happen at the crucifixion, but he's also understanding what's happening behind the scenes, what's happening when this Messiah is going to come to die and suffer. Verse 4, surely, everybody say surely. 2015, some people might say, you betcha. Absolutely. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment for our peace was on him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now look at verse 4. It says that he bore something and he carried something. Now, when this is language that as a Jewish person, you would immediately understand this is talking about the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. As you would lay hands on that animal, something would be transferred. Your sin, your judgment would be transferred to them, and then they would die. And they would squeal and there would be blood and you'd go walk home and have supper. Someone else took your place. And so the sin bearer or the scapegoat, you would lay your hands on that animal, and on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would do it for the whole people. And then that goat would go out into the wilderness to die. And so it bore the sins of the people. In the Passover, when the death angel passed over the homes of the godly, and it wasn't just because you had been sweet, it was because there was blood applied to your house. There was blood that was applied. The blood of what? Of the sin bearer. Of the substitute. And so it says here in verse 4 that he bore and he carried something. All right, now, In the Hebrew language, so here we see that this is translated as griefs and as sorrows. All right. In the Hebrew language, I'm going to read this to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. Obviously, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and translated from Hebrew into all the different vernacular languages that we have. But let me read this to you, verse 4. It says, in fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered. And it's very, very clear from the original Hebrew language that it is speaking of physical disease and physical sickness. Now, some would say, well, you know, it's really just talking about our spiritual pains. I'm so glad he took our spiritual pains too. Amen. Jesus, when he was on the earth and he was quoting from Isaiah again in Isaiah 61, and when he was in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. So yeah, are there things in our heart and our soul and our emotions that God wants to heal? Absolutely. And Jesus is anointed to heal those things. But that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is specifically talking about our bodies, diseases that afflict our bodies. Okay. So he was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered. Now, probably I would say it's the number one rule of Bible interpretation is, you know, if you're kind of thinking, well, what does this actually mean? What does this say? I'm unsure. The number one really rule is there are many, many times where the Bible interprets the Bible. So there's a passage that speaks about that passage. Okay, so, you know, in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is talking about the soil and the seeds that bounced on the footpath and the weeds came, and you're kind of thinking, well, what does that mean? Holy Spirit, show me what that means. Well, just keep reading. Jesus explains it. So the Bible interprets the Bible. Now, it is kind of funny today. I don't know where people kind of come up with this idea, but I've heard preachers say, according to the law of third interpretation, of third and fourth meaning. No, there's just a meaning. And I like what Charles Capps says, that the Bible was written so clearly, you need someone to help you to misunderstand it. And we've gotten a lot of help over the years. And some people have tried to help us to say, no, this isn't physical healing. All right. Well, just let the Bible say what it wants to say. And let's walk in the reality of it. All right. Now, Jesus, in his life and ministry, so he was healing the sick and he was setting people free. And so Matthew was writing this down, and Matthew had his gospel. The Holy Spirit was inspiring him to write it for a Jewish audience. And so in Matthew's gospel, that's why we have the genealogy traced all the way back, to the Jewish roots. And so there's certain things that are brought out, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But he also, in his gospels, and it's the Holy Spirit who's writing it, through Matthew, he's the one who said more than the other gospels. When Jesus did something or something happened, he would say this, that it might be fulfilled what the prophet said. And then he would quote the prophecy. Because if I'm a Jewish person thinking about Jesus, I realize, oh, yeah, that's right. The Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, that's right. Isaiah predicted this. Oh, that's right. And so he spoke over and over again about the prophecies about Jesus that were in the Old Testament. Okay. And they all point to him. But look in Matthew chapter 8, because the Holy Spirit is going to quote Isaiah 53, verse 4. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Aren't you glad he did? So what did he do? He cast out spirits and he healed all who were sick. And here's what the Holy Spirit says about those events. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So how does the Holy Spirit interpret Isaiah 53:4? It's sickness and disease. It's physical stuff. Because when Jesus did it, the Holy Spirit said, that's what Isaiah was talking about. He's talking about physical disease. All right. So Jesus did that while he was on planet Earth. Jesus did that when he was in a physical body. But the really awesome thing about this scripture tells us is that, yes, Jesus did it and he was in a body and he was moving around and touching people and healing people. But the fact is, what he did as a sign of his redemption. What he came to bear for us. So Jesus didn't just do this to kind of show off or to make his claims as a Messiah. He did it because it was in our redemption. And as much as it was for them, it is for us, friends. Amen. It is today. 1 Peter 2:24, and Peter is going to capture one of those phrases that we read about in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, speaking of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. There's that word again, he bore. He bore our sins. What else did he bear? He bore our sickness. He bore our sickness, he bore our sins. He's authorized to do either or both. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds we were healed. We were healed. And so Isaiah says you are healed. Peter says you were healed. Guess what? You're healed. Why? Because it happened at Calvary. It was purchased at that moment. Those wounds and those stripes and his suffering, he bore our sicknesses. And there are sicknesses that, in a sense, that are more easily overcome through medicine and procedures and different things. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad we live in 2015? 300 years ago, somebody might have put a leech on our body to suck out our bad blood. And I'm so glad that medical science and medicine is making the advances that it is. And I hope they just keep on going. And I hope they keep eradicating more diseases. All right. But the fact is, whether it's kind of an easy one or if it's a hard one, all of them were born at Calvary by our Jesus, our Savior. And so what he bore on our behalf, we need not bear. Okay, there is the suffering of Jesus that we see also in Peter's epistle. There is the suffering of Jesus that he did as our example. All right. That is, he was despised. He was rejected. He was misunderstood. And so is a servant above his master? No. And if he suffered in those types of ways, then guess what? We are going to be too. But there is his example of suffering. But his suffering at the cross is not an example. It's a substitute. He was making a payment. And if he paid for it, I need not pay for it. If he bore it, if he carried it, you need not carry what he carried. He carried so that you could be free. So that you could walk away from it. He took it away from you because he didn't want it to burden you. Hallelujah. So he was our sin bearer so that we could be free from sin. He was our sickness bearer so that we could be free from sickness. All right. By his stripes, we were healed. All right. So it is a part of what Jesus provided for every single person. And it's a part of our redemption. Let's look at another scripture here. And then we're going to have a wonderful opportunity today at the Lord's table through communion to receive what he has for us. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. All right. So this is a woman who is outside of the covenant. This is a woman who is outside of the Jewish people. And Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. All right. So that was his audience. Aren't you glad now he's speaking to the whole world? Okay, but when Jesus came, he had a very specific focus and a mission. So then here comes a woman from Canaan. She came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Oh, I like her, don't you? But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I think she needs to be a lawyer. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That little girl was healed from that very hour. Now, just don't worry. If you're here today, you're not a dog. All right. So this isn't a sermon about dogs and cats and people. All right. But what he was saying is, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and there was something that I brought with me called bread. Something called children's bread. And it is for them. It's not for everybody. How many of you know sometimes, you know, at your house, you've got some food, but it isn't for your whole neighborhood. It's for your children. That's why you bought it. All right. Now, what was that bread? What was the children's bread? Well, if we go all the way to the end of the story, what was delivered? Healing. That girl was healed from that same hour. So Jesus refers to healing, his power to set us free, as the children's bread. If Jesus was preaching this sermon in 2015 in Roma, he would say, it is the children's enchema. It belongs to you. Now, I don't know how good of a cook your mom was or who raised you or something like that. But something that I was aware of growing up, and so my mom, you know, there were four boys at home plus dad for a portion of that time. But when mom was cooking, she wasn't cooking for herself. She was cooking for the boys. All right. So if I walked in the, you know, if I walked in the house and there was a smell, I realized that smell calls for me. It's for me, because the only reason she's doing this is for her children. It's the children's food. It's the children's bread. And while she provided it, and while she prepared it, it was mine. Did I buy it at age 8? Of course not. I couldn't do that. But the fact that it was happening for me. Amen. There were times where my little girl, and she, you know, she's not my mom, but you know, sometimes I'd come home and she was in the kitchen and she's baking or something like that. I said, "Oh, Jessica, what's that?" "Oh, it's for school." Ugh. But that's my daughter. That's not my mother. Okay. The children's food, the children's bread, the children's enchema belongs to the children. The reason why it's being prepared is because there's a need at home. It's because the children need to eat it. And so Jesus said, "Hey, I came to provide healing. I came to provide freedom from oppression for the children of God." And so if you are God's child, there is bread that belongs to you. And it's called the healing power of Jesus Christ. It is the children's bread. It belongs to you. Did you pay for it? No, 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 no. He bore our sickness. He carried away our diseases. He is the one who paid that great, great high price. But if he provided for it, then I might as well receive it. Because the Bible says it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything that's in the kingdom, it pleases him to give it to his kids. Amen. Another time where Jesus was talking about food was that, you know, he said, if you're evil, you're carnal, and someone comes and one of your kids asks for bread, would you give them a stone? If they ask for fish, and that would be dried fish. That's what it was. And, you know, if he asked for, are you going to give them a live snake? He said, no. If you are evil, you're carnal, and you know how to do that, how much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And in that analogy, Jesus again was talking about bread, just to provide for your kids' needs. And so God knew that we are going to need help in our bodies. God knew that we're going to live in an earth where it is subject to sickness and disease, and all that stuff came because of the fall of man. It wasn't part of God's original design for us, but it's here. And so Jesus, when he went to the cross, he said, "I'm going to provide bread for my kids so they can eat of it." So that if they're broken, if they're hurting, if they're struggling in their physical body, there is bread for them. And it's been provided for by Jesus. He is authorized to give you forgiveness of sin and healing at the same time. Either or both. Aren't you glad? And so it is his will for you. It is his will for you as a child of God. And so thank God there is healing. There's power to overcome sin. There's power to overcome temptation, to live free. And there is power for you to live free in life. And, you know, it's interesting what the Bible calls sickness. And let's just close here, and then we're going to receive communion. Choir, you can come. Choir, band, music team. But in Acts chapter 10, Peter, who had an eyewitness seat to everything that Jesus was doing, and he's preaching to the Gentiles about Jesus and what he did. And these Gentiles didn't know who Jesus was. And so if they were going to know, then he had to inform them from his knowledge. In Acts 10:38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil." What does the Holy Spirit call sickness? Devilish oppression. And the children of God need not bear what Jesus bore. And there's bread for us today. There's healing for us today. There's freedom for us in Jesus. Amen. And he paid the price. And so it is by grace, and we receive that free gift by faith. With thankfulness in our heart. Do we deserve it? No. Do we get it? Yes. Because he provided it. Amen. And just while you're ministering to the Lord and receiving from him, I'd ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed. When Jesus came, and what you see in his work, and what he did for that man that was paralyzed, is he forgave his sin. He gave him a brand new life. But he said to him, he said, "Take up your bed and go home." You see, there was something that he had to believe what Jesus said. He had to take a step of faith. He had to say, "Yes, that's me." And right now, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're not in the family of God, he's inviting you to come to his family. But there's a step of faith that you have to take. Romans chapter 10 says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth who Jesus is, if you confess him as your Lord, you shall be saved from all of the plans of the enemy, all every bit of bondage. And you get to be in a brand new kingdom and a brand new family. But right now, Jesus is waiting for you to say yes. You see, he died. He died for you. He loves you. But will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him today? Maybe you're here today and you realize, "Pastor, I am a believer, but I just realize I'm far away from God. It's like I've left my father's house like the prodigal. And I've gone away, but I realize, boy, I need to come home. I need to come home." And you can today, friend. You can come home to a father who will receive you and love you. He'll make everything brand new. And if you're here and you say, "Pastor, I've not done either one of those. I'm not a child of God, or I'm far from him," I'd like to pray with you today. And wherever you are right now, wherever you are, just simply lift up your hand. Say, "Pastor, that's me. I want to give Jesus my heart, or I need to come home to him. I'm in a faraway place." Thank you, sir. God bless you so much. Who else? Who else would say, "That's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to follow him." He loves you. He loves you. There's grace and mercy for you. Thank you over there. Yeah, thank you, sir. All right. Everybody who lifted up your hand, if you would just look at me, if you would just grab whatever you brought with you to church, maybe a handbag, a Bible, whatever, and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. I want to be able to pray with you, like I said. And really taking this step is it's a great physical sign of what's happened in your life. And that is, man, I'm moving. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm going a different way. I'm going a different path. Let's give these folks a hand clap as they're coming. Come on, let's let them know we love them. Let's give them a hand clap. Come on. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Fantastic. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Wonderful. He loves you so much, and He's got a good plan for your life. Now, if I wanted to give you this Bible as a gift, right, you would just reach out and receive it. And so what God has for you, your brand new life, it's a gift. So what I'd ask you to do right now is just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand towards heaven and say this. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus for me. He died in my place. You raised him from the dead. I give you my heart. I give you my whole life. Be my Lord and Savior. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin, and I follow you now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wonderful.